Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. Canucks, with another off day, they'll have a busy weekend. Chicago in town, Utah on Sunday. A little bit of a homestand here before they head out east for a six-gamer on the East Coast. It's been a pretty busy schedule, Sat, and it's only going to get busier till the end of the season.
Yeah, man. Listen, we all love the Four Nations, but it came at a cost, and that is a more truncated schedule down the stretch.
We are 36 days away from the regular season ending. Canucks have 17 games in that stretch that they will try to make this final push for the playoffs. And that's where the focus is as we get into the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
Four! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yes, the open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest Canucks practiced out at UBC today as they prepare for... As one person called me today and asked me, like, is it make or break for the Canucks this weekend? I wouldn't go that far, but kind of like we said the other night, Sad, you're in the territory now where every upcoming game is the biggest game of the season. That's the way the Canucks have to look at things right now.
Yeah, that's just the reality of where they find themselves. I mean, they're still... We talked about the money puck odds, and you can look at the odds, and some have the Canucks slightly favored, some have Utah slightly favored or whatever, but they're right there in the race, as good a chance as any of those teams to get in there, right? But at the same time, when you look at their opponents coming up, yes, they have some tough games coming up, right? They have Winnipeg, they're going to be playing the New Jersey Devils, they'll be playing the Vegas Golden Knights twice, they'll be playing Colorado, Dallas, but nine of their next eight games are against non-playoff teams still. So when you're looking at, you know, what opportunity the Canucks have in front of them, and you look at some of the other schedules other teams have, yes, it's a tough schedule, but you kind of have to win all these non-playoff games, and you could win some games against playoff teams too. I'm not saying you can't win any of those, but if you take care of business against the non-playoff teams, like, you're going to make the playoffs. Like, it's as simple as that. So these games are big coming up this weekend.
Well, and Quinn Hughes today essentially said, we've got to win about 10 or 11. So I think
there you go.
They're kind of taking opponents out of it and just saying, if we win 10 or 11 games, we'll give ourselves a good chance. So they know they don't have many that they are able to lose. So a lot of these games, as you mentioned, though, are against Eastern opponents, whereas Calgary has a lot of Western opponents. You know, you wonder about 3-point games in those kinds of situations where teams you're playing against in the playoff race, if they're playing up against each other and they have 3-point games, you're losing in regulation. You lose ground no matter what happens in that game. That's never a good situation to be in. But bottom line, you need about 11 wins, maybe 12, to really give yourself a comfortable chance of getting to the postseason. And for as much as the Canucks offense found a little bit of a groove against Calgary in the third period, we saw them generate a ton. Pettersson tied the game, won the game in the shootout. There was a lot to like. This is still a team that their strength is on the defensive side of the puck. And I wonder, my question to you today in the open is the Canucks' defense as a whole, is that what separates them or what could separate them in this playoff chase?
It's what should separate them. If they're going to take advantage of this situation and be a playoff team, it's going to have to come to their strength of their team. And that's what they have to lean into. As much as we want to see more offense, and we hope they do score more. We talked about Pettersson yesterday and discussed the need for Brock Besser now that he's here for the rest of the season to provide some level of offense and contribution. But they're ultimately going to be a team that's going to win 2-1 hockey games for the most part and 3-2 hockey games if it gets really out of control, right? Like, that's kind of going to be what they're like. Let's say they win 11 of the remaining games. How many of those do you think are going to be one goal games that are under, say, six total goals? Probably like seven of them, eight of them.
Yeah,
right?
Probably.
So it's going to come down to defense. It's going to come down to the identity of your team. And with Quinn Hughes coming back, he looked good the other night. Filip Hronek, who we'll get to, had a day off, but he's a guy who's shown how he can play without Quinn Hughes in the lineup. We've seen Marcus Pedersen's impact defensively on the PK. The depth they now have with DPD and Mancini even, right? Forbert's been stellar on the PK. Myers, well, he can be a bit of an adventure, but you can limit that. If Myers has an off game, you can easily split the pairs up and demote him down to a third pair. You don't have to rely on him nearly as much. This has to be the strength they lean on the rest of the season. And if you look at, obviously, having Quinn Hughes, who is the single best defenseman in the division without question, I mean, in the National Hockey League even, you can debate him and Cale Makar, right? But nobody has anything near him in the playoff race. And the Canucks' overall defensive strength, I still think, is the best out of the group in the playoffs. I know people like Utah and how they play as far as their D is constructed, but I'll take Canucks' D over them any day. So if their defense plays the potential and they lean into that and really have that defensive identity, that should be the difference.
Well, it really does hinge on Quinn Hughes, I think. As we saw in the games without him, you needed the offense that he brought. For as much as the Canucks were able to maintain some good defensive quality without Quinn Hughes in the lineup, they really missed everything that he could do to push the game on the offensive end. And Rick Tocchet was asked today, where's he at? Is he above 80%? What would you say Quinn Hughes is at right now? And Tocchet essentially said he thinks he's above 80%, but he's not going to be able to get to 100%, and also alluded to the fact that basically nobody is. And I guess that's the question, right? Like, how healthy is Quinn Hughes going to be for this stretch run? It's, he was able to play that one game against LA a couple of weeks ago that they won in overtime. And then, it got worse after that. So I don't think we're out of the woods yet just because Quinn Hughes was able to play 30 minutes and played extremely well against Calgary the other night. I think we're kind of at all times this season going to be in a moment where it's like, is Quinn Hughes going to be okay after that hit? Like, is he good? Is he still good? You're just going to have to, like, hope and pray that Quinn Hughes stays healthy for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and I mean, I mentioned a couple of days ago, like, one of the reasons I've been pretty pessimistic about all this is because of what we've seen with Quinn Hughes. Can he even stay in the lineup, right? Like, that's going to be one of the big questions here. But at the same time, we saw what he did the other night when he came in. He's in the lineup now. And you just got to move forward and see what happens here, right? Like, as long as they're healthy, which is always the caveat for anything, yes, they should have an advantage with their D. If they're not, well, they're in trouble because the offense is probably not going to carry them. We've seen what they've been like without Quinn. Like, they've had some good games and some overall pretty good performances, but they're not going to win enough if Quinn is out of the lineup again for the rest of the season at some point.
The other question mark I have about the team's overall defense, and look, metrics aren't going to show you this. The metrics are, I know Rick Tocchet referenced again today that defensively, he's felt that the team has been pretty good since Christmas, and he's not wrong in saying that. They give up some of the lowest shots in the league, even just shot attempts. They are still pretty good in that, but shots against per 60 at 5-on-5, Canucks are fourth best in the league when it comes to that at just under 25 shots per game. So those are pretty good. Right? You really look at that and you say, okay, this is a good defensive team. We know that about the Canucks. But I guess what's concerned me lately, Sat, is, and part of this is because of the offense, you're not going to generate much. So every mistake gets really magnified, especially when it ends up in the back of your net. But the breakdowns they have had, even though there's not many in a game, they are pretty loud and, ones that you don't expect the goalie to be able to make a save on. You think about the Anaheim game where that kind of got out of control and then you end up losing 5-2. The Seattle game right after that, there's three tips right in front of the net. What's Kevin Lankinen supposed to do in those situations when the puck's getting deflected away from him and into the net? Those are the kinds of defensive breakdowns that they're going to be tough on the goalie to stop, and the Canucks have had far too many of those for my liking.
No, they have, and I mean, when you can't score enough and you have a lot of loud mistakes, it really hurts you, and that's kind of what costs them in a few of these games. Like, it's not like they've been badly outplayed in any of these games, even some of the games they've lost, right? They've just looked very inept offensively. They've done a pretty good job defensively, and they've, for the most part, not given up a ton, but then they'll just have those moments where those lapses happen. And how much of that is the fact that you have to be focused for so much because you can't score, because it's so hard. You have to work so hard, and you are going to have some lapses here and there. I mean, I think when you are a team that's struggling so much to create offense, right? And you have to be so locked in at all times defensively and to your details, because you know how costly it is if you do make a mistake. And that sometimes leads to a lack of focus at times. I wonder if that's part of it. But we've seen part of that throughout the year because of distractions as well. But I wonder if you're forced to play that type of style and you have some real shortcomings when it comes to driving the play in games and creating enough offense, you are probably going to be prone to some mental fatigue and some lapses like we've seen from this team.
Falcon texting in 650-650. Buy Hughes a healing hyperbaric oxygen chamber. Is that going to help Quinn Hughes get
sure,
get back
whatever,
to fully
whatever. Why not? Like, whatever he needs. Whatever he needs. And I see, like, Lucas, the fuel guy, brings up what are they going to do about guys going after Quinn Hughes all the time and the physical toll that he's been taking as far as teams targeting him. And I thought Tockett just, you know, he was pretty real about it. He said it comes down to team toughness, and he was trying to be careful about, you know, what type of response he wants to see. Guys are competing to win games. He mentioned a couple of guys went to the bench and said something or whatever, but they don't really have the tough guy. It's going to have to be by committee. But the interesting thing he mentioned was it's something they're going to have to address beyond this season. And I think it's pretty clear organizationally they would love to have at least a couple of guys perhaps that can protect the team and at the very least make it punishing for the other team if they go after Quinn.
They got to be able to play, you know. Like, I know some of our texters have said they should have picked up Ryan Reeves off waivers. Like, no, I'm good, thanks.
No, he's, if you watch him defensively, he struggles a lot.
Like, he's only going to be out there for 4 minutes a night. So it's like, that's not even helping you, because most of the time if something's happening, he's on the bench, you know, so he's not going to be able to do anything about it anyways. The other night, like, the thing with the game against Calgary, and they were clearly targeting Hughes, and you saw it with Lomberg, and even, you know, guys made sure to finish their checks on Hughes. That's going to happen all season long for the rest of the year. And then the Zary incident with Elias Pettersson. Like, part of it is, especially as the game goes on and now you're trailing, can you afford to go take a run at Zary when this is a must-win game? Like, you can't, right? So there, I think game context comes into play as well, but I do agree the Canucks, and obviously if the coach is saying so, it's kind of hard to dispute it, that they need a little bit more of the mentality to go in for your teammates all the time, every time, no matter what. And I think that's really just a mentality they have to have more of as a squad and look to address it in the summer by getting some players that have a little bit more sandpaper to their game. All right, let's get into the Canucks Central Roundup. There's a lot to get into today. Tyler Myers returned to practice. He is probable for tomorrow. Elias Pettersson is back and cleared. So as Tockett said, Myers is probable. Junior is full go. That is direct quote from Rick Tockett. Junior is full go. So given Victor Mancini's play, Myers even called him the strongest guy on the team today. Who comes out of the lineup? Because with Hughes back, you're going to have the one extra. Do you go lefty-righty and Junior stays out of the lineup for now with Mancini playing well? Finally, it's crazy that they have a conundrum on their hands, but I'm not sure who I'd rather in the lineup right now, Mancini or Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, I mean, good problem to have, right? Yeah. Like, I think this is a champagne problem if you're struggling to figure out which defenseman to take out of the lineup, right? I would say that DPD stays in the lineup, Junior, as they call him, I suppose, because he's the guy who has earned the more trust so far. And you saw the way he stepped up to on Kadri. He's able to do things like that. And he's even played on the PK a little bit. So I don't know. I think there's more trust in Elias Pettersson. So I think he'll remain in the lineup.
Producer Josh had some tweets today about Victor Mancini's play.
I tweet sometimes.
Yeah.
So keep in mind, third pairing, I'm not going to like hype him up too much. But last four games, he's played all of them. He is second in on-ice shots for the Canucks 5-on-5 for defensemen. He has the highest expected goals for percentage by defensemen by a wide margin. He's at 69%. I think Marcus Pedersen was second at 57%. And also, he's been on the ice for 19 high-danger chances for, only 8 against, 2 goals for, 1 goal against.
And it's not exclusive offensive zone starts either for Mancini.
No, just over 50%, I believe.
So interesting. Yeah, like as we talked about, you know, the kids look good.
He's good. Especially that last 3 games he's played, he's looked really good. Like, I think those have been the games, and the last one he was terrific against Calgary. That's a high stakes game, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, if Pedersen gets hurt, goes out of the lineup, he has to play bigger minutes, and he steps up and creates an offensive moment too for a team that can't create offense. I mean, you know, like I said, the first game you mentioned he was solid. You joked about it. I'm like, come on, man. He made some mistakes. He looked nervous. Like, you know, he's capable of more probably, but it wasn't a great performance. Like, you can't say anything negative about how he played in Calgary.
So tough decision on their hands for tomorrow night's game. Connor Garland is banged up, did not participate in practice tomorrow, though. I don't know if his status is in question for tomorrow's game against Chicago. And Philip Pronik took a maintenance day at practice as well. And I think we've talked about this a bunch. I think Philip Pronik's season on the whole has been pretty underrated, Sat.
It really has. Defensively, he's been stellar. And offensively, when Quinn was out of the lineup, he really carried the load offensively, too. I mean, he really proved his quality with Quinn out of the lineup. And I think that's something that was debated by a lot of listeners earlier this year when, you know, he wasn't creating offense and he got the big contract. But even through that, I thought defensively he was good. He has moments where he makes loud mistakes and he looks bad in certain defensive moments. But I think that creates a perception that he's not good defensively, but he has so many other consistent moments where he's excelling and doing good things and the quality that he brings. And I just think having a guy like that and having Quinn healthy and maybe getting them on different pairs, I just think it gives the Canucks so many options down the stretch. We talked about it being the Canucks' edge. If they can stay healthy and they can start, you know, separating those guys from time to time too and really dictate, like if you can have those two, like have Pedersen, have Hughes, Hronek, and Marcus Pedersen essentially out there one after another every shift 5-on-5, that makes you pretty good defensively just by having those guys out there.
Canucks also had Thatcher Demko return to practice, though wasn't a full go. Did 3 drills, according to the head coach, Rick Tocchet, and he could be full go next practice, which it's anybody's guess where the Canucks' next practice is going to be because they have the back-to-backs this weekend, so that means they'll have Monday off and won't practice. Then they play again at home against Winnipeg on Tuesday. Then they head out on the road for a 6-gamer. There's no back-to-backs during that road trip, thankfully, for the Canucks. But it's an every other night sort of schedule. So they'll probably practice at that point. Essentially leaning towards Demko might be able to get back at some point during that road trip.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I know Mark and New West and others keep asking about him going down to Abbotsford. I wonder if he goes to practice there when, you know, because the Canucks don't have a lot of practices for a bit or something, but I still don't see him going down there to play games.
Yeah, it's unlikely that he'll go down there to play games. So that's the latest on Thatcher Demko, which means Artur Shilovs is probably starting one of the games this weekend. Now, Rick Tocchet, I'm not going to play the audio because it was like really, there was a lot of background noise and ambient like pucks and stuff like that going on at UBC. So it's not the best audio, but Tocchet did say it would be unfair to have Lankinen keep playing all of these games and that they have to trust Artie. So I'm taking it as Rick Tocchet saying that Artur Shilovs is going to play one of these games, even though he wouldn't commit to it and said that they'd have a meeting after practice to decide their goalie strategy this weekend.
Yeah, I would bet they play Artie against Chicago. That's a team he's already beaten once, too.
Yeah.
The team he has would have some level of confidence in. And I think what you want to do is give Lankinen a 3-day break from, you know, really exerting himself after a back-to-back. I think that sets him up for more success on Sunday against Utah.
To me, it's like not even a question, really. Because, like,
yeah, no, I think you have to. There's
like,
no
Utah's, I just think, the like, bigger game given the like, where they are in the standings, right? And I know, like, I guess the only argument is play Lankinen tomorrow and ensure you get the 2 points against Chicago and then see what happens against against Utah. And, you know, to the other part of the argument, I guess, would be that Shilovs did play against Utah in Utah, and that was, of these last two games that he's played since Demko's injury, that was the better one of his games in recent memory. So those would be the arguments to play Shilovs in the second half of the back-to-back, but I don't know. I'm not really here for it. I'm here for Lankinen playing Sunday and Shilovs playing tomorrow if that's how it's going to play out.
Yeah, that's what I'm expecting to see, honestly. Like and so people mentioned about the lineup. Could they do seven defensemen because they have back-to-backs coming up too? They could easily do that too. I could see they did it before, right?
Taka doesn't love it.
He doesn't. Yeah. I know he doesn't, but there's back-to-backs. They didn't mind doing it the one time. So they could go back to it. You can't put it out of the question.
Canucks did sign a player today. Linus Karlsson gets a one-year extension on a one-way deal at $775,000. So that means he'll make the same amount whether he's up with the big club or down with Abbotsford for next year. And you know, he's continuing to try and give it a go at the NHL level. He's got a lot of good elements to his game, but the question is, we've always said, Sat, it comes down to his pace as a player.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, he might still have a hard time really breaking through next year and staying here, but he got the one-way contract. I think the Canucks had to give him a one-way in order to, you know, keep him from going back to Sweden. You know, if you're going with a two-way contract for a guy like that who may ultimately not get the chance, I think you have to give him a one-way to entice him to stay and give it one more go here.
Scoreboard watching tonight. Flames are at the Avalanche. I think it's actually the other way around. The Avs are at the Flames, and so that one is definitely one to watch. And the other one tonight is Utah in Seattle. Of course, Utah will be watching tomorrow as the Canucks play Chicago, and they'll wait to play here on Sunday evening, which I guess that makes it a scheduled win night for the Utah.
Yeah, get out of here. What happened last time scheduled a loss for the Canucks? They beat the Flames, right?
I'm just saying. I know it's your favorite saying in hockey, Sat.
But all I'll say about the games tonight, go Kraken and go Avs.
you know who Canucks fans are cheering for tonight? Absolutely. JamPro, from the boardroom to the break room and everywhere in between, JamPro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit jampro.ca. Yannick Hansen, our Friday analyst, joins us next on Canucks Central.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.